Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA. And welcome to today's podcast, episode 40, Changing Tables. And we thank once again our digital audience. Boy, they're faithful and true. They're here every podcast. Thanks, everyone. Well, here are some of the chapters we'll be talking about today. We'll be talking Craps Talk first about changing tables. We'll also tell you what we're looking for with podcast content and recommend a podcast that you may not be aware of because it comes from across the water from Australia. We also review three of my Ten Commandments of Gambling. That was a special request. Didn't want to do all 10, but we'll do three today. And we'll close out with summer plans and a little bit of casino group therapy. So hang on, we'll be right back and start the show. Hey, one of the attractions of playing craps is that results aren't tied to a computer chip. I don't know if it means that much to you, but I think to most craps players, it's a refreshing change from the slot scene, the slot machine scene. So it's, of course, the results are tied to a pair of dice that you throw, roll. However, we're told that dice are random. They have no memory, and what happened on the last roll or the last 100 rolls has nothing to do with what will happen on the next roll. So if that's the case, if we got these people that are like true believers that dice are random, you can't control them, and what happens next has nothing to do with what happened just a moment ago, then why do so many craps players who more or less embrace this view change tables? They change tables when the dice are not providing the results that they want. If you truly believe that dice tosses create absolute random results, why change tables? It's random. When I go to a casino to play craps, I find myself looking at the chip racks at the table I choose. Should you do it? Well, I don't know, but this is what I would recommend. Generally, I choose a $5 table, and most often, not always, but most often, there's only one at that minimum. The next table is usually $10 or $15. At the Rivers Casino in Pittsburgh, they do often run two tables at $5. I really like this about the Rivers. So again, I find myself looking at the chip racks of the players of the table I choose. If everyone at the table has a decent pile of chips in their rack, I'm looking. I start on the pass line. However, if the chip racks are generally low on chips, sometimes you don't even see any chips, I'll start on the don't pass with the attitude that I will stay on the dark side until I get knocked off. But wait a second. If dice are random, how do chip racks look, you know, have nothing to do with how they'll come out on the next roll, how the dice will come out on the next roll. But I don't believe that. I believe a table can be hot or cold, and of course there'll be transition from, you know, one to the other. But the chip racks tell me that. When someone asks me that question, I just say, look at the chips. Like, here's what I'm talking about. You're playing craps, and tell me this hasn't happened to you. And someone taps you on the shoulder, and you're thinking, oh, damn. You turn around, and they say, hey, is the table hot or cold? I just say, look at the chip racks. Look at the chip racks. Draw your own conclusion. Come on. Hey, and sometimes this happens. There's two tables you could choose, and you choose one of them, obviously. And shortly after you begin playing, the players at the other table begin clapping and screaming with delight. You know, doggone it, I picked the wrong table, you're saying to yourself. So should I move? The problem is that craps etiquette demands that I do not disrupt the table by moving while a cheater is on a hot run. But wait a second. If I have chips in front of me, I'll move, because I'll take my chips to the hot table if I'm going to play the pass line that day. And I can do that without bothering the shooter, because I'm not going to bet while they're shooting. But I'll wait till there's a delay in the game, and I don't have to ask for money because I got my chips with me. So you don't want to violate crap etiquette by, you know, bursting into a hot table scene. But doggone it, people do. People do. You can't believe it when it starts screaming and yelling. There's a stampede sometimes. So that's something to consider. And I remember dice are random, and just by moving It doesn't mean the hot roll will continue. However, I still move because I don't want to be left out. You know? Hey, in some casinos, particularly the ones that we saw in southern Indiana, the $5 table, and I'm talking about the Belterra, is crapless craps. That means the table has no dumb pass line. The numbers 2, 3, 11, and 12 are point numbers. The other tables are the traditional game, but they're $10 or $15 minimum bet tables. Man, this is a situation where most often I will play at the higher denomination because crapless craps has a higher house edge for the casino. Now, as a pass line player, you're thinking, well, what's the difference? The difference is if you roll a 2, a 3, an 11, or a 12 in crapless craps, well, you won't lose on a 2, 3, and 12, and you won't win on the 11 because they become point numbers. And it's awfully hard, awfully hard, and the odds are certainly not true, for you to roll a 2 again or a 3 again or a 12 again or even an 11 again. So remember, when a 2, a 3, an 11, or a 12 becomes the established point, the odds of making that point tilt the game even more in the favor of the casino. Doggone it. This trend of offering crapless craps to $5 players is growing, and it's not a good one. It's not good for the recreational gambler. Remember that there is not a don't pass line or a don't come bet in this game, and the house edge is higher than roulette. What are you going to do? If you don't have the scratch, you play at a $5 table, even if it's crapless craps. I get it. But you know, I do believe that setting dice creates dice tendencies. I do not believe that anyone can control dice, but certain sets seem to generate certain numbers. And so, you know, the science and the analytical math people just can't convince me otherwise. And I've experienced tables that are ice cold. I know one roll doesn't necessarily mean what's going to happen next, but sometimes it seems like it does. Like they'll stay cold for 40 minutes or 45 minutes. And I've been on tables where you could throw the dice off the ceiling and people are making numbers. You know, it's just like, it seems like it's red hot. You know, I use the term radioactive sometimes. So if you are one of these people that believe in smart craps and you embrace the math of the game and you're saying that, you know, dice are random, they have no memory. Yeah, I got it. But even you may have some doubts, because you may be one of those players that change tables or even say, oh, let's go to the casino down the street, particularly if you're on Fremont Street or in Las Vegas. Hey, let's cross the street. Let's get out of Mandalay Bay and go to the Luxor. Let's go across. Let's go to New York, New York, you know? Like, it's going to be different there. That's what you think. And that's the game that we love. Craps, you know? And regardless of what they tell us, we just won't stop believing that there's something magical about a hot table and something definite about a cold table. Okay, we'll be right back with Chapter 2 of today's podcast. Again, I acknowledge the culture of craps is sometimes illogical, and even though I took calculus at Notre Dame, I buy into that too. So I guess when it comes to craps, I am often illogical. Let me give you a podcast recommendation. A craps podcast from Australia. And it's not about crapless craps. It's Craps Journey. Just kidding. Craps Journey. And the speaker is Aaron. Oh, and he sounds so Australian. Makes you want to go to Outback Steakhouse right away. No, he's so good. He's an intelligent guy. You can tell that by the level of his vocabulary. He's insightful. He's honest. And I would encourage anyone who enjoys listening to people talk about craps. And remember, you know, it's almost like a sports clinic you go to. You can learn one thing. If you learn one thing, it's worthwhile. You know, if you get an idea that's generated because you listen to the podcast, then I think it's worthwhile. But Aaron is entertaining. He's funny. And it's all about craps. So Craps Journey, give it a try. It's on Stitcher. It's on iTunes. And it's on Spreaker and probably many more. But those are three places where I find it. And generally his podcasts are short because it's more or less a report of his latest experience playing craps. He doesn't do what Casinos USA does as much, you know, talk about the casino, the surrounding area, etc. It's generally focused on craps, and it's excellent, and it's enjoyable, and it's entertaining. So, Crab's Journey by Aaron, all the way around the world. Check it out. Okay, let's go to chapter 3. And we'll do that without even taking a break. Oh, that's pretty amazing. And we're going to talk a little bit about podcast content. I'm talking about gaming podcast content. Should say recreational gambling. That's not computer gaming, but that's just the way I say it sometimes. You know, I want to tell you what I'm not looking for. And it's easy to find because there are so many people that want to make a podcast about Las Vegas or gambling. And all they want to do is show F-bombs and use sexual jokes. And you know what? I'm more of a family show. If I got to make kids leave the room before I can listen to a podcast, you know what? I don't want to listen to it. I don't think using vulgarity makes you cool or hip or, you know, makes that thing trend or whatever. It's just not who I am. And you might disagree with me, but that's just the truth. I don't want to hear vulgarity in a gambling podcast. I'm talking about F-bomb, intense vulgarity. To me, that's an excuse for a poor vocabulary. So podcasters, you may not care what I think. I got that. But you're making a big mistake. It's disgusting. And the second thing, if you want to talk about how cool it is to be intoxicated, I have sympathy for you. So if they're going to glamorize drinking and gambling, and that's one of my commandments, which you'll hear about shortly, don't mix those two together, I'm out. So hey, don't worry about it. What do you care if I'm out? But the point is, drinking and gambling doesn't work. And anyone who glorifies being drunk, a junior high mentality. Oh my God, can't wait to get intoxicated. We'll get smashed. We'll get drunk. Get the hell out. That's ridiculous. Maturity and responsibility go together. Grow up. And just because you go to Vegas for a vacation, and I've said this over and over again, every time I go to the Cosmo because I love their cocktails. I'm going to drink 2, not 22. I'm going to drink 2, not 22. All right? Because I'm mature and I'm responsible and I am not a freaking idiot. So if that's what you want to do, you're at a different place where I am and I'm not going to listen to your podcast. It's a bad thing. And I know a podcaster. I don't know him personally, but I gave up on him because he got smashed on the air. So pathetic. So freaking pathetic. Sure, podcast content should be passionate and informative. And it should be fun, sometimes serious, but not juvenile. Let's talk about something about gambling that, you know, I don't know. I'm not big on the interviews with people that, you know, you're supposed to kiss their butt because of some position that they have. I'm not big on that. But you know what? I listen to someone I know in the casino industry. I might want to learn something from. Like an Anthony Curtis, Las Vegas advisor. Like a Bob Dancer with video poker. Yeah, absolutely. But just interview somebody, say I got somebody who owns a casino. You know what? So what? You know, it doesn't matter to me. But again, this is all about personal taste. Some people like chocolate. Some people like vanilla. You can't argue that so well because it's just personal taste. And I said today, I would tell you what I'm looking for. I still believe that you can bet on that is the most informative podcast. Gambling podcast. Mark Duvall is a very wise man when it comes to recreational gambling, and I think he's counterbalanced, you know, by Dr. Mike. I just love that counterplay because Dr. Mike's going to do it his way. He doesn't give really a darn what Mark says. He's going to do it his way, and I kind of love that because that's the way I am. But nonetheless, it's not about drinking for me, and it's not about vulgarity. So, hey, let me know how you feel. And that's 724-519-4556. One more time, 724-519-4556. We'll be right back. Well, you almost have to say everyone knows something about the Ten Commandments. But how many people know about the Ten Commandments of gambling. That's Coach Fab's Ten Commandments. No, not Moses. Hey, I don't want to create trouble here. It's the Ten Commandments of gambling. And they're not in order of importance. That's important to think about. But the first one may irritate you. Do I gamble? Too much, maybe. Too much. Do you gamble? I bet you do if you're listening to this podcast. But the first commandment of gambling is, it's all about discretionary income. Do you like that phrase? Discretionary income. You don't gamble with the money you need to provide for a family, the money you need to pay your rent or a mortgage, to make a car payment or two, to make a college payment, tuition payment for your children. You don't gamble with that. If you do, you have to seek professional help. You gamble with discretionary income, and this is money that you can lose, and it's not enjoyable to lose money in a casino. I'll admit that. But it won't hurt your family. It won't hurt your credit score. Come on. Discretionary income. It's recreation. It's recreational. That's the whole point of our podcast. It's you're to have fun. And if having fun means you're going to destroy yourself financially, you don't do it. Hopefully, if not today, then very soon, you'll be in a position to save money and to invest money. And it's two different things. And I've done it all my life. I'm a stock market guy. Listen, you can save money. And those are things like you're saving for a vacation. And yeah, vacation club in the bank, Christmas club in the bank. I'm not going to mock those. Those are cool. But there's investing money. And that might be stocks and bonds. It might even be precious metals. But the point is, you're not going to use that money when you gamble. And I'm not going to applaud when I lose money because I lose money. But I lost discretionary money. I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm going to be able to make my car payments. Listen, all right? I'm living a good life, but I'm not going to be stupid. Don't be stupid with your money. You're playing in an area where the house edge is against you. The odds are against you. You cannot get past that house edge. If you're gambling in a casino, you can't get past it. So the point is, be wise, be smart, learn the games. It's fun, it's recreational. And if you lose, you're losing discretionary income. You could have lost it on some other impulse buy, but you didn't. You used it and you lost it at a casino. I'm digging it. That's okay. But if it's money you need for all those other things we talked about, you're making a mistake, my friend, and stop it. That's commandment number one. Commandment number two. In full disclosure, do I drink? Yes, I do. Not every day, but I drink. Do I drink when I gamble? A little bit. And that's the key. Little bit. A little bit. Drinking to oblivion. Drinking to excess. Drinking to intoxication. All those levels. And trying to gamble. And trying to play intelligently. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Drinking and gambling, as I say over and over again, is a toxic brew. It won't work. And of course, that free booze that pours out of the casino in Vegas and other places too. Now, it's increasingly more common for under state laws that have been changed because of pressure from casino lobbies, obviously. You lose that inhibition to be wise with your money, and the more you drink, the more foolish you might become. That's the hope of the casino. You know, they're not giving me, you know, free buds or free cocktails. Oh my goodness. Because they like me. They're doing it because it may make me a very poor gambler. You know, it was, what, a year ago? There was a big case in Vegas. about a foreigner who owned a casino in another country, and he came to Vegas, and he claims in his lawsuit that they deliberately gave him booze to intoxicate him, and he lost several million dollars. Well, I don't have millions of dollars to lose, but he did, and he's suing. And I don't know Nevada law. I'm not a lawyer, although I'm usually pretty hip to that kind of stuff. I don't know Nevada law, but I'm sure that casino will win, you know. But anyway, he is a casino owner, and he acknowledges that drinking and gambling are just deadly. So be wise. If you want to drink to oblivion, stay home. Do it at home. Do it in your nice living room, your nice game room, you know what I mean? Your nice den, if you use that term. Don't do it at a casino, all right? And don't do it where you have to drive, of course. But you don't need to drink to oblivion. Just enjoy life. Drink or two is not going to hurt you, but intoxication is not cool. It's not hip, and it's the worst thing that a recreational gambler can do if they expect to be successful at a casino. And the third and final one for today, and I'll cover these again. I'll go 4, 5, 6 in our next podcast maybe. But the third one is probably more common than number one or number two. Yeah. What is it? It's a lament. And a lament that many of us have said, and we got to stop saying it. I should have quit when I was ahead. I should have quit when I was ahead. And we all can tell stories about ourselves. You know, you're up $400. You're up $30. What difference does it make? And you know what? You're thinking, man, if I can go to a casino and win $150, I'll be so happy. And you do. You're up $250, but you won't quit. And you give it all back and you lose money. Why? I should have quit when I was ahead. So it's not just about establishing a loss limit when you go to a casino. You know, we're all told that, you know. It's considering a win limit. There are certain times you got to pull out. You got to cash in. You got to do something else. Take a walk. Go bowling. Shoot pool. Go back to the room. Go to the movies. Go to the spa. Go to the indoor pool. Go to the outdoor pool. At some point, you got to leave the game. And here's the thing to remember. And this is why the casinos always win. You, as a player, as a gambler, as a recreational gambler, as a tourist, as a hotel person, you can leave the game, but the game doesn't end. You can leave the game, but the game doesn't end. And that's why casinos win in the end. But you can beat them by quitting when you're ahead. Commandment number 3, quit the game, quit the slots when you are ahead. All right, let's go into our next chapter today, and that would be summer plans. We'll be right back. You know, for all the many of you who use a player's card wherever you gamble, whatever casinos you go to, you know, right about now, we start getting these deals for summer, you know, and it says something like, if you book by May 30th or May 15th, you know, you can get this comp or that comp. You'll get two nights here, two nights there, depending on it. So, you know, now's the time you start thinking about, you know, summer plans. I'm talking about summer travel plans to a casino, not the one you normally go to, you know, but ones you stay overnight. And, you know, for many of us, Las Vegas is always in that discussion. Well, not only that, this is a big year for me. We have a big wedding anniversary. You know? So we both are recreational gamblers, so it only kind of fits in that it's going to involve a casino somewhere. And so we're planning flying to Las Vegas this summer. And here's a tip I want to share with you. And I'm sure some of you are much more hip about booking airlines than I am. I had to go to my daughter, Jill Nicole, who lives in Las Vegas with her family, and, you know, get this information. And then I did it, and well, what a savings. But here's our original plan. We were hoping to book a nonstop, and that's the only way I'll fly. I'm sorry. I told you, when you're over 50, it's all about convenience. So we were hoping to book a nonstop July flight. We were open in July, just our schedules. And it said, you know, so it's for two, round trip from Pittsburgh, where we reside in Pittsburgh suburbs. And we wanted to go Sunday to Sunday. And, you know, we're Southwest people most of the time, so nearly all the time, I should say. So the total cost, and that's taxes and a whole thing, you know, I'm not just talking about a flight. The total cost for two people, round trip, Sunday to Sunday in July, was $1,005. Not real happy about that. Not real happy about that. You know, so our daughter told us to, you know, try a different departure day, different return days. And we did. You know, we're doing this all online so we could play around with it. And we found out that if we leave on a Saturday from Pittsburgh and we don't return until the following Monday, that's 9 days instead of seven. So the flight plan, the same flight plan, you know, for two of us round trip, that was reduced to $630. That's almost a $400 savings. And that was a bargain, you know, flying round trip to Vegas for $630 is divided by two. That's not so bad. And because we do gamble so much, M Life and Total Rewards are both owning, those gaming companies own most of the strip. So we're staying six nights free. We're staying three nights at Bally's and three nights at the Luxor. Pretty excited about that. And we decided that final weekend, because we had talked about this in our podcast from February when we were out there, that we go to Fremont Street, but we have never stayed there in all the years we've been to Vegas. So we've been attracted to that Shark Tank because in July it's going to be swimming weather, that's for sure. And we're staying at the Golden Nugget on Fremont Street for that final weekend, and we're paying for that, of course. But I was surprised. You know, it was pretty reasonable. So we're pretty excited. So the tip really is, and again, this came from my daughter, but you might be already in this information group. Remember, check out how changing the departing and returning days of your flight, because that could make a difference in the price. And again, for us, it was nearly $400. And not only did it save us several hundred dollars, it gave us two more days in Vegas. So, hey, that's not so bad. All right, we're going to move to casino group therapy. Hang on to your hats. I guess we all have to ask ourselves a question, you know, after an experience at a casino. Was I a smart player or was I less than a smart player? Was I a smart player most of the time or was I less of a smart player most of the time? And, you know, was it worth it? I mean, did I enjoy it? Did I have fun? All right. So I have not an extensive library, if you think of like a building, but, you know, for personal use, I do have a nice little library of gambling books. And one of my iconic authors is Henry J. Tamboran, and his phrase, take the money and run. And the book is about craps. And he lists for your consideration in our casino group therapy session today some things about smart players. And I'm going to give him all the credit. I might have thought these things or even said some of these things, and you probably did too, but he's the author who put them on paper and sold them to a publisher and got a book published. But consistent winning players are people like this. They've developed a game plan before heading to their favorite casinos. They develop that game plan and they use it to determine which bets they'll make, what betting level, and what bankroll that they will risk, and also when to quit. And just think about that. They determine by their game plan what bets they will make and at what betting level and at what bankroll and when to quit. So that's big. Which means they have to study up maybe, to use a slang. They've got to take concern to know the game that they're playing. They have to know what the best bets are and which bets provide the lowest casino edge. And, you know, on a hot table, they might take some risk. And I think another thing about smart players, and Henry J. also agrees, the smart player never bets more when losing, but rather bets more when winning. You know, we talked about chasing losses, and I told you I saw someone chase losses successfully in a recent trip to southern Indiana. But more often than not, if you chase your losses, bopping your bets, trying to get back to even, that's I always say is a craps player's prayer, Lord help me get even, then probably you're going to be in worse debt, you know, lose more money. The smart player basically knows when to take the money and run, which is one of our commandments. You know, make sure you know that the house edge can turn on you at any time, and so you understand that you want to leave a winner. And it's tough sometimes to walk away, and I would never leave a red hot table, but I still want to go home a winner, so you don't want to give it all back. And there has to be a point where you just recognize it's time to leave the game, even though, as I said, the game goes on. So everyone in our group today should agree, let's try our best to be a consistent winner. That's not so hard, right? Say it with me. Let's be a consistent winner. All right. So, hey, you can join our Facebook group. We actually hit the 300s. Oh, man. And that's listed as two words, Casinos USA. So make a request and we'll get you in there. If you want to follow us on Twitter, little tweet here and there, it's at Casinos USA 2017. And the voicemail, 24/7, commenting on Twitter or Facebook or a podcast, telling us your casino capers anywhere, any place. We'll try to get you on the air. And, don't forget about our friend from Australia, Aaron, in Craps Journey. Give that a try. But to call us, 1-724-519-4556. That's 1-724-519-4556. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's our life in America. And remember, Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday. See you in a couple weeks. So long.